My name is Derek Casey. I'm 32 years old and I've been attending Emmaus since last November and have been a Christian since last December. I was an atheist for quite some time and would regularly challenge anyone on the existence of God. Through God's ever-loving grace and patience, I am here today as a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. This is a testimony of how God brought me here today. I grew up in a divided household when it came to Christianity. My mother was raised Catholic and my father was introduced into the Jehovah's Witness organization in his early teens. Both of them moderately practiced their faith, but never past the extent of rarely going to Mass or even the Kingdom Hall. The idea of God was present in our home, yet I never felt a close personal relationship with God. The best way to describe it would be like sleeping over at a close friend's house every so often. I got to experience the dynamic of the family, but it was never really a part of it. When my inquisitive nature took hold in my adolescent years, I had some serious questions and doubts about Christianity and even the existence of God, and I didn't have any satisfying answers. As I grew older and saw the hypocrisy that was evident in my Christian peers, and that they claimed to be godly yet did ungodly things, coupled with eagerness and science, and more specifically the evolution theory, I totally abandoned the idea of God. For the next 10 years or so, I lived a relatively normal life. I made good grades, went to college and graduated, got a restaurant job, because at the time being a rock star was still an option, and I wasn't going to let a real job deter my rock and roll fantasy, and I lived what I thought was a good life. I had a good sense of altruism that was self-satisfying, and I helped people when I thought they needed it. I didn't have any deep-seated emotional issues or hardcore addictions. I lived what I thought should be a good, honest life apart from God, and especially religion. After September 11th's terrorist attacks, I really bought into the idea that religion was the root of all the world's problems, so not only did I imagine a world without religion, I honestly yearned for it and tried to seek it out. A defining moment came to me in 2005 when my grandmother, who lived with me all my life, died of lung cancer. She lived with us because my grandfather left her, and my mom my mom turned 18. My father was gracious and loving enough to let her stay with us, so growing up, it was like having a third parent. For a few months, she had been complaining of not feeling right but would not see a doctor. After some coaxing, she finally saw a doctor who did basically nothing, and then after a few more doctors, she was diagnosed with cancer and lived only a few more agonizing months. In her last months, she was barely lucid, and there were times where she didn't have any grip on reality. I left my job for a few weeks so that I could be with her in her final days, and to this day remains the hardest thing I've ever gone through. She was 92 years old and a devout Catholic. When she died, it was as devastating as losing one of my parents. I went from not believing in God because it seemed improbable to not believing in God because I hated the idea of God torturing and killing someone who served them literally all of her life. I couldn't wrap my head around this idea, and I became infuriated with anyone who believed in God. This anger not only perpetuated my atheism, but left me with a sincere disdain for all believers, regardless of faith. As the pain of her passing began to slowly subside, I started full-on in studying the idea of atheism and living fully a life without God. I read Richard Dawkins, Bart Ehrman, and anything that remotely dealt with atheism or the fallibility of the Bible. Within a few years of my grandmother's passing, a curious thing started to happen at my work. Our store hired a new operating partner who subsequently started hiring people from the local megachurch with the perceived notion that these people would ultimately serve as better employees than the previous ones who had substance abuse issues, among a host of other undesirable attributes. This is ironic in that she is not a Christian. After a few years of working with these people, I did notice that they were generally nicer and more hardworking than the lot before, but this was not unusual to me because I perceived them as being brainwashed, so brainwashing them into working hard and falling in line seemed natural for them. It wasn't until I started actually hanging out with them and talking to them that my attitudes towards Christians started to change. One conversation I had in particular was with a girl who was giving me her testimony and was very genuine in describing her love for Jesus. She was so vivid in her detailed description of her love for Christ and how he saved her that I was actually quite moved. I still thought that she was emotionally unstable for relying on a fairy tale for wisdom of the world, but I couldn't avoid her genuine passion for Christ. There were others who would speak to me about Christ, but I already knew how the world worked, and I wasn't going to succumb to biblical superstition to explain what science had so plainly refuted. Ultimately, all these people were chipping away at my defense, until one day, literally the proverbial bomb went off. My living girlfriend, who had become my wife, had decided she was becoming Christian. At first, she decided to be of the non-church-going variety, but a trip to Emmaus changed that instantly, and she would go every Sunday. After a month or so of her attending, I started to notice a couple changes. The first was actually very positive. She was more joyful and was much happier with her life. The second was her attitude towards me, which led me to inquire what the deal was. She said confidently that she could not see herself with someone who was not Christian. Now, this had happened to me before, so I initially thought I would go the same route of saying thanks but no thanks and begrudgingly be on my way. But this time did feel different. After a few more serious talks, I told her that I would consider the idea of Christianity but made no promises. Oddly enough, as I was heading to the gym, when I heard a lecture on the radio by Francis Collins, who was head of the Human Genome Project. He was promoting his book, The Language of God, which dealt with coalescing God and science. His lecture gave me a new perspective on how scientific and biblical principles actually complement each other. By this point, I did some serious soul-searching and pondered God with an honestly objective and open mind, and that's when I felt it. I would have never been able to put it into words or even believed it before then, but it was something that I can now acknowledge as the presence of the Holy Spirit. It was not a matter of me believing in God, but actually knowing that there is a God. After that, I really couldn't explain what I was feeling, but it was something I'd never felt before. I then decided I would join Jessica in coming to Emmaus because of the strong impact it made on her. The first sermon was not by Anson, but a pastor named Joab, and it was definitely interesting, but it wasn't until I started coming regularly and seeing the community of believers that it started to make an impact. I saw a different side to Christianity that reinforced my love that I felt with the Holy Spirit. The last step was to overcome my own pride and admit that I was wrong about God. This was especially difficult because my atheism was a large part of who I was. Not only would I be renouncing my faith in nothing, but I would also lose the camaraderie of those who shared my beliefs. But I was too submerged in the Word at this point. Not only did I see where I was wrong about God, but I felt the genuine joy of being a follower of Christ. I was soon baptized and have been a follower of Christ ever since. There are those who would cynically argue that I became Christian only to stay with my girlfriend. This argument might have some validity at face value, but there is one more thing to consider, and that is God is at work all around us. Timothy Keller argues in his book, The Reason for God, that everyone knows God exists. He goes on to say, whatever you may profess intellectually, belief in God is unavoidable. It's an unavoidable, basic belief that we cannot prove, but we can't not know. We know God is there. That is why even when we believe with all our minds that life is meaningless, we simply can't live that way. We know better. It's when one decides to open his mind to God that you can see what is so obvious all around you. I opened myself to the idea of God and let him in, if only for a moment. All it took was that slightest acknowledgement, and he took care of the rest.